bitter tears could ever shake my soul. Though arrows fly, though terror reigns, I will not fear, for you abide with me. When you abide with me, my worries bow. You are my comfort in every hour. Though sorrows rise like raging seas, I will not fear, for you abide with me. Never forsaken, my strength will ever be found in the hope that's taken hold of me. Through light and darkness, my soul will sing, for you abide with me. When you abide with me, my heart finds rest. My life is hidden in your righteousness. Hell has no power, death has no sting, and I will not fear, for you abide with me. Never forsaken, my strength will ever be found in this hope that's taken hold of me. Through light and darkness, my soul will sing, for you abide. When you abide with me, I overcome. Through flood and fire, the victory's won. I stand secure in joy and peace, forever yours, for you abide with me. Forever yours, for you abide with
A show of hands, how many of you would agree with me that Thanksgiving is one of your most favorite holidays? I'm looking around the room. Yes, many of us would agree. Thank you so much for that. Folks, our culture has changed. This perfect day that you and I know as a holiday is also a holy day. When we get to turn our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, we get a chance to show our adoration, our appreciation, our attention to God Almighty, and to give thanks. If we stop right here, right now, I want you to know my heart is full. When Jesus said, allow the children to come unto me. When I saw those boys and girls being baptized this morning, when I saw the excitement of some of them texting me saying, I can't sleep. I can't wait till tomorrow. I'm so excited. It gets your pastor excited. And then when I see the boys and girls up here singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And Jesus knows me, this I love. You realize God has this very special plan for each one of those children. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. God has a plan for those children. It's your job as parents, as well as this church, to ask the Lord, what's the plan for these children? Folks, please don't leave God out of the equation. Where do they go to school? Who will they date? When they will date? What vocation God may lead them down? Make sure you don't leave God out of that equation. That's why here at Thanksgiving we say it's a good time to pause and to consider what God is doing in our lives. But our church, our culture right now, our society as a whole has changed. I'm not going to beat anybody down, but you know this. I know this, that our sincerity toward God has changed. We've moved from a culture of appreciation and adoration to entitlement. Entitlement. How many of you know that as adults, that people today feel like they're entitled to things from the government, from their families, from the school system? How many of you understand if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat? How many of you understand that Bible verse? You know, I could just go on and on and on about this. I'm not talking about the welfare system or any stimulus packages from our government. I'm just talking about everybody doesn't get a trophy. I was talking to a coach last night in another state. His grandson is being looked at in a college for a scholarship. And the state he's in, he's a linebacker, which is a very hard position to even get anybody to look at. And they're going to the state championship. And he said, Dallas, I want you to pray for my grandson. Not that he does very well, not that a school calls him, but he carries himself, he conducts himself as his grandfather did as a Christian on the field. I was so touched by that. Friends, thank you for coming today. What makes us different here at First Fairleigh? More than just having time for the boys and girls, more than giving praise to Jesus Christ, more than realizing we want to exalt the Savior first and foremost. It's not about us, and it's so much bigger than us. But our primary reason we're here, our purpose, is to exalt the Savior. If you understand what I'm saying there, how about shouting amen? Amen. Not a man, not a singer, not a sensation. When you and I come, we want to lift up high the name of Jesus. You want to exalt the Savior, but you also want to examine the Scriptures. And for 7 years now, I've been opening every message during the time of introduction, something I learned many, many years ago that God instilled in my life from the pen of the Apostle Paul, as endorsed by the Holy Spirit of God who wrote the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Even though he had 40 different writers, God told them what to write. So I said, Lord, if God told them what to write, how dare it, me or anyone else, if I ever changed it? Lord, help me to always use the Bible when I bring the messages of hope. Not a newspaper, not a book of poetry alone, not a Reader's Digest. You have those stories and things to supplement the message. But I say, God, I want to be like the Apostle Paul who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'd rather speak 5 words with clarity than 10,000 words in an unknown language. I can use all my education, my doctrine, try to impress you and tickle intellects, and doesn't impress one person, especially God Almighty. So I want to do what we do with the boys and girls. I want to put the cookies on the shelf so the boys and girls can eat, as well as you. You may be here today and you don't understand what we're talking about. I want to make sure you fully understand why we come together as a church exalting the Savior, examining the Scriptures. We use 5 words. Open your Bibles with me. Now, for all the years I've been here, I've been using that, but not only here, but in other churches. A knock on the door at my home last week came. And someone in this church, a man who enjoys doing woodworking, and he and his wife were there and they had a bag. He said, I know you don't like to receive gifts. He said, but God laid something in my heart that I'd never heard before. My father was a preacher. He opened his messages with the same way, in the same manner that you did, with those five words, open your Bibles with me. He said, I made something for you in memory of my father, but honor our heavenly father. Are you ready? Look at that Bible cradle. Isn't that great? Open your Bibles with me. Friends, that's what it said. You can't see it. When I have this in my study now, I can take my Bible, I can lay it right there, and it doesn't want to fall or anything. It's just right from my eyes. So I'm not going to give attention to the person who made this and his wife, who probably helped sand it down and shellac it and varnish it and all that, because we're not about us. Who are we about? Jesus, exalting the Savior. But I do want to publicly thank him. So let's practice this one more time. Open your Bibles with me, friends, to the book of Psalms. You take your Bible and you divide it right in half. You can find this Hebrew poetry book, the book of Psalms. And there in the book of Psalms, you can find 150 Hebrew poems known as Hebrew literature. And right in the heart of the 150, you go find the Thanksgiving Psalm. Now, if you've been in church very long, perhaps you've already committed these five verses to memory. But if not, I'm going to call everyone's attention to Psalm 100. Could you turn there with me now, please? I'm also going to invite you to open up your worship guide. And I'm going to give you a few blanks down here. It's going to make this psalm come alive. We have pencils and pens in the back. Please pay attention. Don't write this off as just as another warm and fuzzy. I promise you, you're going to leave here changed. You're going to learn a few things. And this Thanksgiving season, in the face of the coronavirus, in the face of the economy, in the face of the social and racial unrest, you and I can leave this place excited about Jesus. Psalm 100 is known as a Thanksgiving psalm. It reads like this. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now I understand we use another version in your insert. I'll be addressing it here momentarily. But to honor some of the older generation who have the older King James Bible, that's what it says in verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now serve the Lord with sadness. Is that what it says in verse number 2? No, with gladness. Oh, I'm so glad I came into the house of the Lord today. That's another psalm. We're supposed to come before God, His presence, with singing. Thank you for the singing here this morning. You and I need to know that the Lord, Yahweh, when you see L-O-R-D capitalized there in verse number 3 and throughout the Bible, it's talking about Yahweh, Jesus Christ, God Almighty. Know ye the Lord. He is God. Yes, it is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. When I was in business for 15 plus years, I don't mind saying that was one of my most hated expressions back in the 80s and 90s when people became millionaires. Folks, I've never been motivated by money, still not today, but a lot of men and women are. If that's you, I pray for you. All the money in the world doesn't buy your way into heaven. All the money in the world, sacrificing your family, your friends, your health, and all that, doesn't please God. What I'm saying down here is God has made us. When you hear that phrase, a self-made millionaire, there is no such thing as a self-made millionaire. Who gave you that intellect? Who gave you the ability to be able to go to school? Who gave you the wherewithal to be able to make those, and to crunch those numbers and do all that? Friends, God did. God did. God did. Look with me again in verse number 3. God made us. We didn't make ourselves. We're just a clay. He is the potter. You know that from the book of Jeremiah. We are His people. And by the way, he goes a step further in verse number 3. He describes us as sheep of His pasture. Now, don't look at your neighbor right now, but you know what I'm talking about. When God calls us sheep, that's not necessarily a compliment. Sheep are kind of dumb animals. They wander off. They get into trouble. You look at the 23rd Psalm, the rod and the staff, they comfort, they protect the sheep. Anybody, have you ever owned a real wool garment? You understand what I'm talking about. It repels water, but also absorbs water, keeps you warm inside. A sheep can wander off from the flock, fall in a mud puddle, and drown, because they don't have web feeding or anything, and they'll sink to the bottom. Also, they get parasites. They have no means of protecting themselves. All these things about sheep, they need to stay close to the flock. That's why in you and I, Hebrews 10:25, we must stay in church, stay close to the flock. It's tempting just to quit on church right now. The coronavirus has claimed a lot of Christian casualties. Let me say it again. Christian casualties. People who know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, who should be here today or every Sunday or every day praising God, thanking God without ceasing, the book of Thessalonians says. But we've used this vortex, this vacuum against God now. Please don't fall victim to that. The devil's duping you. We are his sheep. Don't wander off. Don't get into trouble. You have no means of defense apart from Jesus Christ. You and I, Philippians 4:13, can do all things through Jesus Christ. You believe that? Say amen. We can do all things through Jesus Christ, but you and I can do nothing apart from Jesus. I can't find one verse here in God's Holy Script that says you and I can be victorious apart from God himself. He made us, not we ourselves. So now you and I get to come into his gates with thanksgiving. Consider with me verse number 4. Circle that word right there so next time you read Psalm 100 in your Bible, you're going to say, I remember this. Pastor Dallas said that's a thanksgiving psalm. Yes. A friend of mine, every time his family gets together for Thanksgiving, even as a grown man, his father, who's very aged now, they all sit around the table, they all stand, they hold hands, they quote these 5 verses. And he learned that. And now he's passing on his children and his grandchildren. And then they give God a praise offering back. One thing that I'm thankful for this year. And it could be anything. But he said, this psalm right here, don't discount it, just being another Hebrew portion of literature, just another song they sang. He said, no, it truly is a time to pause and praise. Do you like that? A time to pause and praise. Give thanks to God. You see that in verse number 4? And then praise his name. Be thankful to him. Bless the name of God. Why? Verse number 5 answers that question. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth, talking about this truth, and so much more, the truths of the Bible. Oh, it's going to last through all generations. Thank you, God, for reading now the teaching and preaching your word. Let's pray about it. Father, we do thank you that we have a Bible that we can open. We do praise you that, God, this Bible still means something to us. Lord, it's your voice and script. The blood of Jesus that bleeds off these pages. If there's 1, 2, 3 people here or more that have never put their faith and trust in you, may today be their spiritual birthday. May today be that day, the greatest Thanksgiving ever, when they say, yes, I remember that day in 2021. Thanksgiving, yes, when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Thank you, God. Please convict and compel people unto salvation. Thank you for the boys and girls, the students earlier, who weren't ashamed to acknowledge their relationship with you. Thank you, God, that the boys and girls understand the A, B, C's of salvation, admitting that they needed a Savior, believing that Jesus Christ was a Savior, and then C, confessing him as Lord and Savior and committing their lives to him. God, I thank you so much. The Bible's not difficult to understand. It's as simple as A, B, C. There's adults here today, some listening by radio, some watching by Facebook, perhaps have never practiced the ABCs. Of just talking to you, admitting, believing, and confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Dear God, please move on now. Thank you again for the written word, and now for everything else we'll be enjoying together as led by your Spirit. In your holy name, God's children said, amen. Allow me again begin this portion of the message with a quote from one of my favorite pastors of all time, the late, great Dr. Adrian Rogers. Folks, Adrian Rogers, I saw stand with this Bible in a conservative manner, said, we're not going to negotiate this. It is the first, foremost, and final authority. That's Psalm 119, verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. And Saul him booed by other preachers. You see the importance of having God's word in your lap, on your phone, in your heart, in your mind. The world is booing the pastor. They're really not booing the pastor, they're booing Jesus who wrote this. So listen to what Dr. Rogers said many years ago before he went into the presence of God. He said, perhaps there are greater sins than the sin of ungratefulness, but I don't believe there's an uglier sin than the sin of ungratefulness. He said, I'm not a great student of Shakespeare, but like the rest of us, I have been exposed to Shakespeare. And here's what Shakespeare had to say about the sin of ingratitude. Shakespeare said, I hate ingratitude more than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any cant of vice whose strong corruptions inhabits our frail blood. Are you with me on this? Ungratefulness, ingratitude. Friends, that's why I'm so thankful. Look at your Bibles again for Psalm 100. I'm so thankful God took time to give us five verses to remind us we need to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Yes, with praise and more. So right now what I'm going to do is call attention to the overhead. And we have this in the New King James Version, which says in verse number 1, it's not make a joyful noise to the Lord. Read it with me in your handout. It says make a joyful shout. That's your blank down there. Please write that down. Please write that down. This is one of the most misquoted verses in the entire Bible. I hear people say this all the time. You know, I don't sing very well, but I like to make a joyful noise. Well, that's great, but you can't use Psalm 100, verse number 1, to support that. A joyful noise being lifted up, the sweet savor to God, yes, could be music, melody. Let everything. You find this throughout the whole book of Psalms, yes. But verse number 1 isn't about singing. Verse number 2 is about singing. Verse number 1 is about shouting to God. And some people say, you know, shouting in church, clapping in church, I just don't really know how sacred that is, how reverent that is. Couldn't I tell you, folks, it's biblical right here. You're supposed to shout to the Lord. It's amazing. When I was a youth minister way back in the 80s and early 90s and leaving the business world and going off to Bible college and seminary and serving at a church, contemporary music was just starting to really roll around. And the first cassette, now for the younger generation, it's called a K-set. It's about this big. You put it in a player. When it messed up, you pulled it out, you put a piece of tape on it, you took your finger and tried to, you know what I'm talking about, a cassette. My first cassette was titled Shout to the Lord. And the woman who wrote this from Australia, and she wrote it in 1993 and was given to the world through Hillsong in 1994. Well, here's what's amazing. As I was coming to church today, knowing I'll be shouting to God, shout to the Lord. That's a song she wrote. I had not heard that song in 20 years. And I had it on Joe Bennett's Spirit FM this morning. 91.1, Joe. Guess what song I heard coming down here to church this morning? Shout to the Lord, sing praises to it. I was just blown away how God brings that together. Friends, there's a lot of Bible verses that are taken out of context. A lot of Bible words that people also misconstrue or misinterpret. Let me give you another one. This word right here, singing, if you have the old King James, make a joyful noise. The noise is shouting, like back in this day in the culture. When the king would walk into the presence in the courtroom or in the courtyard, the people were compelled to shout to the king. You're talking about Caesar. You know, my man-made king. Should you and I not want to shout more to God Almighty? When Jesus Christ enters in the presence of our hearts, believers' baptism, and others, that's why I get excited and want to shout. But that's one word, again, that's often misquoted or not defined properly. The word noise really means shout. Let me give you another one. When you go to the last page of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, you can find Jesus Christ saying, I come quickly. And everybody says that means soon and very soon. It could be today Jesus Christ will split the heavens open, He's going to return. Yes, yes. But that Greek word is not talking about He's coming soon. He's coming rapidly, rapidly. In a twinkling of an eye, in a twinkling of an eye. In a moment, like right now. He could be, think about this, right now. If Jesus Christ came right now, quickly, as He said, rapidly, where would you spend eternity? Would it be in heaven? Oh, you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Or would it be an eternal damnation because you said no, no, no? Folks, you and I got to get serious this Thanksgiving about some very important Bible words. Shouting to God, yes. Jesus coming quickly, rapidly. It could happen today, yes. Let me give you another one. I'll get off these Bible definitions. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, I was guilty at one time preaching a message that wasn't biblical. You understand the Hebrew portion of Scripture is the Old Testament. The Greek and Aramaic portion of Scripture is the New Testament. Well, I'd been to school. I've been to seminary, 21 years of school. I didn't think I'd ever get out of school. And yet I came out and failed horribly when I preached Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And I thought that vision had to do with sight, God's sight. 20/20 vision, just like we practice in this church. You want to put on the glasses of God. You want to see things like God sees. That word vision has nothing to do with our eyesight. That word vision has everything to do with revelation, the unveiling, the unfolding of truth. So where there's no Bible, the people perish. Where there's no preaching of truth, the people perish. Where there's no exhilaration, exalting, all those kind of things, people perish. That's why we always, always, always hear First Fairleigh say, open your Bibles with me. Because Jesus could come rapidly today. That's worth shouting about. Let me give you some words we use around here when we really feel moved by God to shout. Amen. On a count of three, I want you to shout out amen. One, two, three.
Amen.
That means even so. That means you agree with me. Here's another one. Hallel, Yahweh. Yahweh. That's Hebrew for Hallel, Yahweh. Hallel means praise. Yahweh means God or Lord. So when you and I say hallelujah, you know what you're doing? You're shouting praise God. Let's do that right now. We'll say praise God. One, two, three, praise God. Now let's say hallelujah. One, two, three, hallelujah. Wow. We just woke some people up. Folks, you and I got to be excited about the Bible, the revelation of God. Yes, the shouting to God. Yes, knowing how God deserves our praise. Let's go and consider the next verse because time is slipping away. After verse number one, we find we need to make a joyful shout to the Lord. Yes. Verse number two now says, serve. Write that down, please. Serve the Lord with gladness. Yes, be doers of the word and not hearers only. James chapter 1, verse number 22. Be doers of the word with gladness. You know where joy comes from? You know where joy comes from? Jesus others yourself. That's the acrostic. Jesus, J, others, O, yourself, last. You want to experience true joy in life? You need to put Jesus first, others second, yourself last. We heard about this morning in Sunday school. We also have people in Sunday school this morning that were singing. We're going to be considering that here in the next step. Singing an old Fanny Crosby hymn or whatever it was we were singing there. And I thought, what a great day to be alive. What a great day to be in church. What a great day to be a part of this congregation that wants to shout to Jesus. Yes, they also want to serve Jesus. What's on the overhead? 1,638 boxes. You see that? That's just one ministry alone. We filled up six full tables and had extra boxes. You can't see them because of the picture on the other side. 1,638 boxes, folks. On the average, one shoebox filled with toys and Christian literature sent all around this world, on the average, reaches five people in that family, or siblings, or friends. So if you want to do some simple math, that's about 8,000 gospel opportunities. That's worth shouting amen about. Amen! 8,000 gospel opportunities here at Thanksgiving and at Christmas by people serving God, giving back. Thank you for packing the boxes. And thank you as church for allowing us to put it in the budget to pay for the shipping, $9 a box. What a great way to get the gospel out, hand-delivered to all four corners of this earth. Verse number one says we are to shout to God. Verse number two says we are to serve God. Yes. Well, then verse number two also says come before His presence with singing, with singing. Folks, that's what we did this morning. Yes. I'm going to ask Jeff to come forward, please, right now, and he's going to lead us in singing. You remain seated this time. A classic Thanksgiving song. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you. Big.
Thank you for being so good.
Show your appreciation here for our instrumentalists and our leaders. Thank you, Jeff. Folks, that's worth singing. I hope that's one of those songs that's stuck in your head that you'll be singing the rest of the day. Hey, all the way through Thanksgiving. You and I get a privilege of singing to God. Jesus, we want to thank you. When the world doesn't take time to say thank you ever, ever. Come on, we know better as Christians. We know better as Christians, yes. We shout. Hey, look, I'm looking right now at some men that are here today because they're going to be hitting the altar to close of today's service, not to confess sin, but to pray over a big old buck tomorrow. I see you out there. I see you, Adam. I see you, Russ. I see you. Oh, Lord, I don't ask for much, but may a big old buck deer come out. And when that thing comes out and is this big, they're still thankful. And you can hear shouts all around these hills from us hillbillies when they shoot a deer. Woo! They take pictures, send it home, and the wife goes, "It's just daddy. It's just daddy." "Yeah, honey, that's exciting. That's wonderful. Okay." We get excited about shooting a deer. We don't get excited about Jesus Christ. Come on. Serving, singing. Yes, shouting. Well, let's continue on, please. The next one we'll find out here in verse number 3 and 4. Know that He is the Lord. He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. Here we are again. We're sheep of His pasture. Write down Savior. That's what He is. He's your shepherd who leads you if you allow Him to do so, but first has become your Savior. Yes, absolutely. You and I must trust Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Folks, a lot of things in this world we can debate. We can debate Ford or Chevrolet. We can debate Honda or Toyota. We can debate Republican, Democrat, or Independent. We can debate foods right now. Who's going to have turkey tomorrow for Thanksgiving? Raise your hand. A few of you are paying attention. Who's going to have turkey tomorrow? It's not rhetorical. Who's going to have turkey on Thanksgiving Thursday? Raise your hand. Thank you. Put your hands down. Now, if I called out the people who will be having ham on Thanksgiving, somebody next to them saying, "Oh, you're not supposed to have ham till Christmas time. I don't know what he's doing up here. You can't be having ham right now. It's turkey. Everybody knows it's turkey day." And my mother, she's going to have both just to keep everybody happy. But folks, we can debate a lot of things in life, automobiles and hunting and fishing and politics, food, turkey. Let me tell you my silliest little Thanksgiving joke. It's about a hog truck carrying hams to the market. He went to pass a turkey truck. Come around here in sandstone. He went around the truck, and they collided. The tail end of these two semis collided. All fell one crate, had a big old bird in it. All fell another one, had a hog in it. A guy behind him come right up sandstone. You've been right there on that highway. Man come up there, and he saw this pig running wild on the highway and a turkey running around delirious too. It wasn't a wild bird, it's a domestic bird. So he stopped and picked the bird and the hog up and put him in the back of his truck. No sooner he's about to pull off, here comes a state trooper. "Woo, woo, woo. What do you think you're doing?" He said, "Look at the debris all over the road. There was an accident here." He said, "I'm going to do what's right." He said, "You're going to do what's right, mister." He said, "Right down this road, I know where there's an animal clinic. I know where there's an animal farm, a petting zoo. You go get those animals checked out. They fell on the highway. Get that hog, get that turkey checked out down here, and I want you to take those things to the petting zoo." He said, "I know the person who runs it. Give him my name." He said, "I'll pay for it." He said, "Okay." So he did. Everything said, checked them out. They weren't harmed. Petting zoo. The very next day, the trooper's out there again, watching the highway go by. Here comes the same man with a hog and the turkey not in the back of the truck, but sitting up in the front, perched all up. Woo, woo. He pulled him over and said, did I not tell you yesterday to take that hog and take that turkey to the petting zoo? He said, yes, sir. We had such a good time. He said, today I'm going to take him to the beach. Amen. Shoney's a wait, friends. You can wait. Give me a couple more minutes here to unpack the truths of God by shouting, singing, who to who? The Savior. You'll tell that silly joke later. I know you will. Folks, let's continue down here. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. Look in verse number 4 down here. We are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Yes, thanksgiving. You know, we're the only country in the world really may practice thanksgiving openly. What? Other countries recognize it. You say, well, Dallas, you dumb cluck. Of course, the Pilgrims, Jamestown, Plymouth Rock, you know, all that. I know that, friends. I lived in Williamsburg. We took our seniors down. I understand that. But don't you think the rest of the world who follows Christmas and Easter and other things, don't you think the rest of the world would want to bow knee to God one day of the year? I got a picture from my daughter, you know, as a missionary with her husband. They moved them from the unrest in the Middle East, and the International Mission Board has now moved them to the UK. And they're in London, England. And their supervisor came over and said, I want to show you around. And took them to Buckingham Palace, just outside. And also took them Big Ben's under repair, supposed to be completed this year. And just different things. They're a little sightseeing before they went on and met their church team and more. And I said, Amanda, just talking through Skype, I said, Amanda, that's incredible, your pictures, the architecture there. Your daddy loves that kind of stuff. I'm looking forward to when we can bring a mission team over there and help you. That's an open country. It's not like a closed country where you were before. She said, Dad, we're getting everything ready. That'd be great. That'd be great. I said, but Amanda, let me ask you. Do they celebrate Thanksgiving next week like us? She said, I don't know. I don't think so. I said, what a great witnessing opportunity. Won't you do what you did in Tokyo, Japan, sis, my daughter? I've always called her sis. I don't know why, but I said, babe, won't you do what you did in Tokyo, Japan? Won't you have some people in? You have a traditional Thanksgiving meal. Won't you teach them why we are thankful and to whom we are thankful? She said, I'm on it. Folks, think about this. In verse number 4, I'm going to hurry here. You and I must speak. We must speak. We must give praise to God. We must be thankful. Yes, yes, yes. Jeff's going to come and lead us one more time here. And you will be playing a part. Remain seated right now. Folks, this is one and done. This will be your one Thanksgiving message here. We're going to count our blessings, name them one by one. Brother Jeff?
When upon life's pillows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has. Everyone knows this. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God
right here in the middle, we're not going home till one person stands and gives a testimony. You're going to speak. You're going to thank God for something. Russ, I'm going to have you reclaim your victory here today. I picked on you about being a deer hunter. Won't you stand and tell everybody about what you share with us in the men's prayer breakfast? When your girls come home after church, after Awana, after Sunday school, they get up on the fireplace and they do something really spectacular. Stand, Russ, right now and give a testimony to God. Speak.
Yes.
And Jeff, you talk about a heart for God, and
There's not a deer big enough in the world to care bigger to replace that moment. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Thank you, God. All right, let's do this. Cancer survivors, where are you? I need one cancer survivor, please stand up. Give a testimony to God. You're healed. Who would it be? I saw Becky Hogan here this morning. Praise God for that. I know Roger Cyphers. Praise God for that. Over here, Miss Linda. Speak. Thank you for the testimony. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Jeff, you stand right there, just your voice only. We're going to sing to set this up. I want to hear from one person. You're thankful, God, for anything. Your family, your faith. Folks, this is old school missionary Baptist style of Thanksgiving service. So, Jeff, let's just do the chorus. Count your blessings. Name them. Here we go. Let's follow him.
Count your blessings.
Singing right now, one person you want to thank God openly. You're not ashamed of the gospel. Dr. Ashley, go ahead.
I'd like to thank God for saving my father's soul.
Yes, just recently. And how old was Red when he trusted Christ as Savior?
67.
That's what I thought. I thought he's in his 70s. I can tell you this as a counselor, he had statistically, he had less than a 3% chance of doing that after the age of 75. Are you with me on this? 3%, but my God is bigger than 3%, amen? Aren't you glad your dad is going to be going to heaven now? Wonderful. We heard another testimony in Sunday school about the same thing on the deathbed. All right, who else will go stand over here? You want to thank God for something? Right now, let's show our appreciation for all these testimonies. Praise God. Your pastor will do it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, only have one more week. You can't fire me. I'll be honest. I'm going to have fun here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're still here, and we get a chance to witness to others. And the greatest way you can witness to others is through your voice, through speaking. But let me show you the last slide down here quickly, please. Through your shining. Shine. Jesus, shine. Write that down, please. For the Lord, in verse number 5 of Psalm 100, we'll finish. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations.